So let's welcome you to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace and prosperity. This one now about European Greece. In this podcast, I have already talked about Greece in some of the sections, about the membership and about NATO. But now I will specifically start a new chapter also to focus on Greece specifically. And here it's European Greece. Because it's a very good occasion, because today I saw the news and that Greece is cutting its corporate taxation level from 24 to 22. It's not, you know, the extreme step, 2 percentage points less, but at least it's some progress, and it motivated me to make this specific podcast right now to congratulate the Prime Minister Mitsotakis for this good step forward, yeah? It is, you know, it's accompanied with other ways to reduce the costs for doing business in Greece, and there's other reforms as well ongoing. And, you know, despite all the difficulties and the inherited crisis and the corona crisis, obviously, Greece at least is doing the right steps, cutting taxes and trying to make business easier, making a more SME-oriented policy and focusing on growth. And this is the only way. And I think it's a good role model. Everybody should do that. Obviously, it would be much better to reduce the taxes to 10%, as in Bulgaria, Macedonia, in Kosovo, in Bosnia. Much better, obviously. It's also that we have a very low corporate taxation, relatively, in Albania with 15, in Serbia with 15, in Hungary with 9, in Montenegro with 9. Yes, 22 is too much for Greece, but okay, that's the choice. I appeal for a more courageous step, obviously. But on the other hand, of course, Greece is now the world record leader, at least the European record leader. I don't know if there's any other country in the world with a higher debt to GDP level. It has now reached 205 percentage points. And obviously, that's quite an astonishing number. And it's by far the most problematic country. And so, obviously, some will say Greece needs high taxes to somehow pay back our debt. But that's not a smart way. Greece needs, first of all, economic growth. Because economic growth is then the key to raise revenues in the future. And also the relative, because debt is always expressed relatively to the economic performance, to the output level. Obviously, higher taxation, that's a reduction of that ratio. And then obviously the credibility of Greece is back on the international markets. Greece will receive more investments and capital will turn around faster and not run away from Greece, because it's one of the countries where the rich always hide their assets outside, and inspiring them to bring it back, making a new compound, a Southeastern European new consensus of taxpayers with a 10% taxation rate would be much better. But good. It's also interesting that they have not reduced the income tax, because Greece has an income tax level from 22 to 45%, which is extremely high for a Southeastern European country. To my knowledge, not a single one has a similar level. It is basically most of the countries have 10% income tax level, maybe some up to 20, like Albania 23, Serbia up to 20 with the surcharge tax. Yeah. Romania has 10% income tax flat, very good. Bulgaria as well, Macedonia as well. And, you know, 10% seems for me the reasonable aspect and rate for that one. In Greece, you know, they of course has this left-wing consensus, 45, yes, eat the rich. That's obviously not working. Then you have so much tax evasion and all this grey sector and all this capital flight. Look, for example, and it's quite historic today, and about this year, let's say it's 2020-21 data, it's that Slovakia has reached the Greek prosperity level. Slovakia was part of the communist world, and it has reached, and it was the poorer part of Czechoslovakia, and it has reached now Greek prosperity level at $19,000 GDP. When I was 20 years younger, traveling through Europe, Greece was already a very developed country and very rich, and Slovakia was a very poor backwater. The last 20 years, really, Europe was turned on the tables, and Slovakia is now on the level of Greece, And by the way, Slovenia and Czech Republic are the two most successful countries of Eastern Europe, and they are already considerably richer than Greece. Obviously, Greece has fallen back since the financial crisis because they were lucky to be in early, the institutions were not reformed, and they had this Ferrari of the euro, and they couldn't drive it because they just then thought, let's be as rich as the Germans, we have deserved it somehow, and we will now raise all the welfare sector up to German level or Austrian level, because we also want to be Western European rich level like in London. But the reality of the productivity of the economy was far from that, and obviously the collapse had to come. And it came very hard in 2008, and that's of course very sad for the people concerned, but they were the same people, first of all, then calling for these higher pension increases and all this welfare spending, and now obviously they are hard hit once the system broke, and you know, we have obviously helped the Greeks to stay in the euro. That was extremely good, because otherwise the pain would have been much harder for the Greeks. And so it is. Yes, when I come to the reforms, yeah, it's of course good, 22% corporation tax and all the other measures. But when you see that maybe contrasted with good leadership, bad leadership, it's quite good. Because Turkey at the same time announced to raise the corporate tax to 25%. So Turkey really also in taxation moves in the wrong direction, and Greece moves in the right direction. It's very good. So we should really be applauding and actually give Greece more leeway to cut taxes to 10%, because that's the way to do it. And it would be much better to have a successful country, which over the next 50 years maybe will grow out of its debt level. We can anyhow reduce the debts with this long proposed debt equity swap, because the privatization of this famous Greek privatization fund goes rather slowly. And you know, the ones, the assets which were easy to sell are already sold. And now in this 5 years process, we are a bit stuck. So it would be much better to make a bottom line now, what is worth, what are the assets inside, and send this to the European Investment Bank, the ownership one by one, and transfer the money back to the Greek treasury in the cutting basically the debt level and being generous in the evaluation and transferring all the Greek state assets to Frankfurt and then cutting the appropriately and proportionally the debt level of Greece, and so then to come to a working level again and privatize and Europeanize and restructure the assets with European ownership of all these assets. Some of them might be kept long-term, some of them might be kept in these European infrastructure companies, I propose. None of it should go to the Chinese in terms of strategic infrastructure. That's completely true. And it would be wrong to sell whatever harbors and important telecom networks or other defense assets to the Chinese or the Russians. Let me also talk about the SME factor, because that's dear to my heart, and look at the microeconomic reforms, because now 10 years, the Troika and the EU delegation helping to reform Greece. I hear a lot that there is some progress, but when you see the doing business numbers and you compare it with North Macedonia, North Macedonia is the seventh from the top, number 17 of the doing business reforming countries, and Greece is at 79. And that's quite a stark difference to quite similar countries. When you drive, for example, to the Balkans, you go from North Macedonia to the north of Greece, you don't see a lot of differences. Physically, it looks quite the same. It's not the north of Greece doesn't look like the Chalcidian Islands or the famous pictures you have from Greece. No, it looks quite similar. So these countries are very comparable. And also I've driven and visited most of these regions in the north of Greece and also in the south of Greece and also Bulgaria, Romania, also North Macedonia, Albania. Obviously, there are some differences, but it looks not so different. And also the population are mixed in all sides. And, you know, it's quite different. Quite close, obviously, in the border regions. And when you see that the one country, Greece, which is in the EU and NATO, is at 79 of doing business, and Macedonia, which is now reforming 25 years with EU assistance, is at number 17, it's quite a shock. especially when you now see that this 2020 data, and in four categories, property registration 156 of the world, that's a development level kind of result of Greece in terms of property registration. Contract enforcement, it's 146th of the world economies, and that's also very bad, actually. Yeah? That the rule of law seems to be very flawed in Greece, and getting credit is at 120, and getting construction permits at 86. You can check all this data as well. It's very interesting. Doingbusiness.com, the World Bank process to evaluate countries in these various microeconomic performance indicators, from energy to property to contracts, credit. And you see that Greece, even after 10 years of European-driven reforms, is still far beyond and below the results we have in the Balkans, even Kosovo, on most of these indicators better than Greece. By the way, Greece recognized Kosovo. That would be good. It would make you a lot of friends in Washington and Berlin, in Vienna. And me, I would also celebrate it with a specific podcast. It would be good. So let's see that one. I compared it with Slovakia, doing business. The tax cuts is very good, but it's not courageous enough. It should be really courageous at 10%. Then let's come, I talked already, I think, about the privatization fund. That's, of course, very important to swap it completely. And then let's also compare a little bit the results in corruption and anti-corruption. Not the results in corruption, but the results in the international ranking for Transparency International, where Greece has managed to be now at 59th of the world. That sounds good, but never forget Georgia, which is not in NATO, EU, not in the euro, didn't receive so much subsidies, but had better leadership, is now at the amazing position of 45 in the world. So it's more or less 15 positions better than Greece, which has all this regulatory security of the EU, the outside security of NATO, and all these reform mechanisms inside the European Union and the euro, which is, of course, a big tool for anti-corruption. And then we have just this result, and Georgia much better than Greece. Yes, it's not so good. Then let's come to some of the open issues which are of concern. I already mentioned Kosovo, the recognition of Kosovo, obviously one of the issues now hotly debated by Kosovo. There was an article of Aloš Gaši recently asking Greece to recognize Kosovo. Greece and Kosovo did a business forum. Greece has a liaison office in Pristina, so it would be a nice step to do it, and it's totally possible to get it done. There's also this issue about Turkey. We are not going to war for any of them. They are both our allies, so please calm down. There's the issue of Cyprus. Obviously, here it's very clear to have the unity of Cyprus in a federal Cyprus joining NATO. And NATO securing also the security. We don't need UN talks. And recently, I think it's now next week, there will be UN talks in Geneva again of this funny format, which I criticized so often already, something with the UN and the British and the Turkish and both sides of the island. That's the most bizarre format I've ever seen, as if the United Kingdom would be a big power and Turkey as well. No, this is all an inner NATO affair, so it should be NATO and EU involved, the Americans, of course, leading the whole debate, and then to find the situation and the settlement inside NATO. That means the unification of the island after the German model, with a good regional status of all and the regions of the north. And that is very good. The bicameral situation, like in Germany, like in the US, a Senate and a House of Representatives for Cyprus, and a state president and obviously a prime minister. There can be then always one prime minister from one side, if you want, and one prime minister and president from the other side, if that's the way to deal with these things more symbolically. But the most important is a NATO membership. And then obviously NATO takes over all the troop bases of the Turks and of the British and leases it back to the same troops. So the security is provided again by the British, Americans and the Turkish. And so nothing really changes on the ground. But obviously the membership of NATO is very meaningful and the unification is very meaningful. There will be no revenge vendettas by anybody. Nobody will dominate anybody, because also the Tyroleans don't dominate the Steiermark. It will be just a federal state, like most of the European unions are or should be, in fact. So that's the way for Cyprus. I've always come back to Kosovo because I love it so much. Wouldn't it be cool? Cannot anybody in Greece be meaningful and helpful? Because we have this issue with Kosovo recognition. Greece, it would be really making you a lot of friends if you recognize Kosovo, and that would be really very welcome. And a lot of people would say, we can do business with Greece. Do you reduce the taxes to 10% like in Kosovo? And we will be very, very soft in the repayment terms. You transfer the assets to the European level. We will be well evaluating everything. And suddenly there will be a debt level of maybe 120 only. And the growth will be high with lower taxation. And then make it easier to buy property for foreigners from anywhere, not only from the Chinese, but make it a very easy way to get the residence permit, not passports. But properties in Greece are still, in a way, too much burdened by regulatory uncertainty. There is also this issues of, hopefully soon to be resolved, of a European cadastre, European digital construction permits, like in North Macedonia. And then to really make it very easy for the world to buy property in Greece, because that's really what I see is actually relatively reduced in prices. And there is 10,000 of properties who look for new owners. They would bring investments and see what Bulgaria has done successfully, selling off over 300,000 apartments to the world. And that's really what Greece should also do, not to make it so complicated, but make it a decent proposition to the world to have a second home in Greece. Deregulate also this whole protectionist system of the EUT licenses, to making it so complicated to enter the tourism business for the locals and for the international house buyers is completely ludicrous. Yeah? It's very wrong. Open up the Greek economy towards global competition, liberalize and treat your investor as a friend and partner, and stop doing all this kind of expensive protectionist kind of blah, blah, blah. This is really very annoying, and I think it's time to change that. When it comes to infrastructure, I've already called for this fast-track train, the ICE or TGV or Eurostar from Tirana to Patras. On the one hand, Greece is already building from, obviously, from Athens to Thessaloniki. These are the two most important cities, but must be north then to Skopje, Belgrade towards Budapest. And that's very important to have fast-track trains, also then from Thessaloniki towards Istanbul. That's for the fast-track trains. The highways must be completed as well to Albania, Macedonia, Bulgaria faster. It's quite necessary. Greek can do good highways. And again, I see that, for example, this Ignatia Odos public company is still for sale in the fund for privatization. I mean, who will buy that? Nobody will buy that under that condition. So it must be Europeanized. Sell it to the EIB. The EIB has set up this European Highway Construction Management Operation Company, owns that highway, repays the Greek debt, and then builds also the remaining links towards Albania, Macedonia, Bulgaria. And that's very good for Greece consumers, for taxpayers, for the Greek state. Who really knows if that highway is owned by whom? Do you want to have it with the Chinese? No. So it's much better the European Union itself owns it. It has also paid for it. And so it is very logical. And then we can do the rest of the things easily with the connection to the Balkan countries. Yes, and it's also necessary in the energy infrastructure to connect Greece very good to Albania, Macedonia and Bulgaria, quite obviously, and also build the necessary links in all the aspects, from digital, from the rail, from the highway. I have already mentioned that. Yeah, more or less, that's my wishes for European Greece, and that's my congratulation for Prime Minister Mitsotakis, who at least is doing something. You know, we have to acknowledge that. There's all these paralyzed Western Europeans like Kurz, who are from Austria, who is promising 21% tax and has not delivered anything. I don't know what is wrong. He's so young, so dynamic. I remember when it was 2017-18, when he was rising, I was so optimistic there will be a young dynamic reformer coming. But he is all the contrary. He's just young, non-reformer. He is just the expression of the status quo, being so happy that he has reached power in a system which he really doesn't want to change because it's a system which brought him to power. That's quite astonishing for me as a conclusion. But it's a fact. Mitsotakis, at least, you know, he is very difficult with all this debt level 205, now the corona hammering in, the migration crisis, also the relation with Turkey and so on and so on. It's really very complicated. But he is doing something. He is cutting taxes. I respect him for that. Good. Let me also, it's not the last point, maybe the last point, you know, it's very dear to my heart, is the situation with the migration crisis on these islands close to Turkey, the Greek islands, Lesbos and others. And it's very tragedy that we withdraw now from Afghanistan, and every reasonable Afghanistan person who worked for Western interests in the last 20 years knows that he will be killed by the Taliban, and at least they bring their children into safety, tell them to run before they will be massacred by these extremists, which we are allowed to take power in Afghanistan. And then they end up under these terrible conditions in this, in general, very beautiful island of it's Lesbos and Chios and others. I call Europe to be a better Europe, because what we really should do is bring all these people to Germany, Austria and to France, to Western Europe, where we are rich and where we have all the facilities already prepared from the last crisis. And now they are there empty. And we have all these people now sitting on the islands up there until the pressure is cooking up, and then they will run, or then there will be whatever kind of military now the Greeks have deployed. And actually, it's a very embarrassing situation for me, because I think Europe is a continent of freedom, hope and prosperity, the new America. People from some places where we have actually intervened in order to help them, to liberate them, to spread our values and freedom. Then they run because we leave them alone again. We betray them. Then they send their young children to come to Greece, and then we put them into such kind of prison camps, kind of gulags or whatever you want to call them. It's very outrageous for me. And I call that we have these camps. Obviously, they are necessary for first aid, for medical treatment, for also registration. Because what I also don't want to see again is a second 2015 where we have unregistered a light of like we would be totally incapable. This impression of inability, incapability and kind of helplessness was of course very damaging for Europe, and that's really wrong. What we need is such kind of facilities. People come, they will be registered, they will have kind of a clear registration system. Also, we shouldn't have then these numbers where every country in Europe has a different registration system and then they disappear. And, you know, we are, as in the corona, we are not using the digital opportunities we have. We are not treating our challenges with the digital technology we should. Kind of confusing, I cannot understand. And then it happen a lot of negative effects, you know, because people feel left alone, there's temptations of criminality, and then the whole project of humanity and of integration is somehow discredited in this very populistic discourse. So what we in reality need to do is to have a very clear registration, very clear help in the beginning, and then sorting out fast track what is happening with each person. Nobody should stay longer than a month in such a camp. And then to be also going into the countries who are ready to take them. And the others who are not ready to take them is then also financially compensated. I have many times already said, you know, for these costs, there must be a solidarity fund. All European countries contribute. The ones who really take care of refugees and help to reintegrate them into the labor market as well, not just to keep them in a German camp, but no, they must be then, you want to stay here, you want to stay here medium term, let's see for the long term, that's another issue, but let's see, you want to come to work here, then very good, here's your temporary work permit, here's your temporary residence permit, here's your integration guidance, here's your mentoring system, here's your training on the job, and here's the company which helps you. Here's a facility where you can sleep. Here's the voucher for some beginning of a social system, and then let's see if it works. Yeah? And the ones who get criminal, obviously, should be sent back to Afghanistan. But nobody else. Only the ones who have really committed serious crimes. And just, you know, residence permit breaking. This is really outrageous that we send people back for this. Yeah, I mean, that's, for me, not even a legal criminal issue. Huh? I mean, I've been myself living as a foreigner so often in Albania, Ukraine. And, you know, this is often that you somehow overstay your time or that you somehow don't care for really what the authorities want from you. And that's totally fine, I think so. Because I've done nothing wrong. I came here to work, to live, to do my things, and that should be under the European rules anyhow, much better regulated. And that's a different topic. But nevertheless, what I want to say is we cannot leave Greece alone. We should be more open and we should also help faster. Nobody should live longer than 1 month in that camp and then he is sent onwards. Greece is already overburdened with that task. Anyhow, there must be also significant help. And then the people go to Germany, Austria, the Netherlands, France, or anywhere else where there is the willingness to help. And there is a lot of willingness to help on the municipal level. Certainly, there is the capacity in many of the Central European and Northern European states. And then they will be basically integrated in the labor market and then they will be assisted by doing so, learning the language, learning skills which are necessary. And that's the way to do it. And then we have, like we have in Washington, D.C., hundreds and thousands of people from Eritrea and from Ethiopia. And it's all fine. Washington is still standing. So that's my thinking here. And, you know, not all the people from Afghanistan will come. But if we allow countries to collapse, more and more will come. There's no doubt about it. And I've talked already a lot about it. Anyhow, this was now about Greece. And so its focus situation is Greece must be helped also in this one. Nobody longer than 1 month at this island. Then up in the airplane and not under other conditions, but in an airplane to one of the European destinations. Also, America can help a bit because some airplane loads of Afghanistan refugees from Greece can be also integrated easily in 330 million in people in America. It's absolutely no problem. So that is also important to help here and that Greece is not left alone. So what I want to say in principle is congratulations for Mr. Mitsotakis. He has done a good job cutting taxes. 2 percentage points is worth one podcast. If you do another 10 or 12, I will do 10 podcasts for you, Mr. Mitsotakis. And I really think that you have done a good start for this now. Could be much done better. But at least, you know, you're moving in the right direction, contrary to Erdogan, who is increasing the taxation. So I congratulate Mr. Mitsotakis and the Greek taxpayers and the Greek people. This was a good step. More to come, I hope so. And I call for that. So, European Greece, well done. A good first step.